Hey, what's going on, everyone? This is Greg with the Sports Rehab Success Show. Today I'm going to be sharing a case study with you. If you're watching here on YouTube, you can see that I'm outside. We're here in Michigan, and spring's actually starting to break through a little bit. So while the trees still got no leaves on them, it's nice, warm out, sun's out. So spend some time here outside catching a few sun rays. But I just wanted to share with you a case study of a patient who I've been treating recently. And it was a patient who had headaches that he was coming to see me with. Kind of a typical ram's horn presentation that would kind of come around the back and would experience a lot of the headaches in the temporal region, but would kind of display that ram horn presentation of symptoms that is often described with headaches, where it radiates from the back side of the head to the front of the temples. Fairly active guy, mid-40s, was looking to stay active, but a lot of the routines he was doing was causing a lot of headaches to occur. Not necessarily during, but a couple hours later he would experience some intense headaches afterwards that would last 1 to 2 days, where it wouldn't really necessarily completely relieve itself until he just completely quieted down, didn't really do much of anything. Obviously wanted to stay active, so found me, and we started working on, we did some manual therapy type things, so palpation to some of the C-spine areas elicited his headache mildly around the C3, 2, 4 segment, around that area. How specific you are with palpation, again, that's to be unquestioned, but somewhere between C2 and C4, we'll say. And on the lateral side as well. Now, palpation to the upper trap was pretty tender, but didn't necessarily reproduce his headaches. Same thing with levator, pretty tender, but didn't necessarily produce his headaches. So again, with that ram horn presentation, if you go along the trigger point referral patterns, usually you're thinking kind of upper trap. And it makes sense with the upper trap, attachment to the C-spine, as well as the levator attachment to the C-spine, how that could have some type of influence on palpation to those segments there of the cervical spine. The bigger thing, so we started with some manual therapy treatment there to try to work on giving him some relief. There's a decent amount of research that shows some dry needling works well for headaches, as well as some manual therapy through the upper traps as well too. This patient, while there's a good amount of research that shows the cervical manipulation works for headaches, this patient was not necessarily, I asked him if he had an opinion on cervical spine manipulation. He said, "I would prefer to avoid it if possible." So didn't necessarily start there, whereas some others I may consider doing that a little bit earlier, because again, there's some decent amount of research that shows cervical manipulation is helpful for headaches, especially in the acute-like scenario. But again, these seem to be exercise-induced. The exercises that were in question was a rowing machine. So anytime he hopped on the rowing machine, he would get some headaches afterwards, especially if he was to do it more intense. Push-ups were another big one that would cause it, and bear crawls as well too. He was doing bear crawls at the gym that he was at. So those were the three things that he'd pinpoint would cause some of the issues, the headaches. He did mention that rowing with a dumbbell was touch and go. Sometimes he would get it, sometimes he wouldn't. The rowing machine, where he's doing much more frequent horizontal rowing motions, that would always elicit the headaches. So worked on some different things to get his scap moving, as far as his general presentation. When we looked at him with the shirt off, just kind of resting posture, was a little bit more in that retracted, scaps in a downward rotated position, just a fairly well-built individual too. He wasn't a skinny guy, but wouldn't necessarily classify him as a flat T-spine or a kyphotic T-spine. Had a pretty decent resting scapular position on his thorax. His lower rib cage did have some rib flare occurring anteriorly, so we can assume there's some type of extension-based strategy going on there as well. Again, his scaps kind of sat in that downward rotated position, shoulders kind of downward sitting as well, to more of an increased slope for the upper trap. So what we did was we worked on some things to improve his scapular upward rotation. And while we did that, something just didn't quite look right when he was doing his exercises. So I asked him kind of what he was thinking about when performing that exercise other than the cues that I gave him. And he said, well, you know, I'm trying to keep my scap in a down and back position that I was told before by another PT. He had been to PT for this issue, didn't really experience any relief because he was doing cervical retractions all the time, and he was doing a lot of scapular retraction as well. Didn't necessarily feel any type of relief from those two intervention strategies. But he, you know, thought that's what he needed to be doing when he was doing any sort of exercise. So watching him do a Y raise, he was thinking down and back with the scap. Watching him do a push-up, he was thinking about holding his scap in his back pocket the whole entire time. And watching him do a row, he was very heavy emphasis on the retraction portion during the rowing, but then also when he would go back, he would keep kind of the scaps in a down back retracted position. So what I told him to do was, you know, I don't want you to think about your scaps whatsoever. I want you to let the scaps be mobile, let them be loose, let them move when you're moving. So we started with some different wall slides where it was just let your scaps be free, let them spread apart as you raise the arms overhead, let them upwardly rotate. Worked on that with a little bit of the Y raise too, trying not to get too much levator kicking on with that. Then we introduced a band assisted push-up just to take some of the load out of the equation as well too, if that had some type of implication to the headaches. I want him to really think about kind of reaching through at the top. But then again, letting his scaps be free so that when you would go down into the bottom of the push-up, that it was just a mild retraction. It wasn't an aggressive retraction. It was just, you know, let the scaps move in the direction that they should move with the way the exercise should be performed. So down the bottom of the push-up, scaps should be retracted. When you reach long, you should have the serratus going, so the scaps should be moving around the thorax. So just let the scaps be mobile is the big emphasis with that, and don't worry about holding yourself with the exercises or 24/7 in that down and back postural positioning that is so classically taught all the time. Again, it's not right for every scenario. It definitely isn't something that needs to be held 24/7, and it certainly influences a lot of painful situations and experiences with people too. Doesn't necessarily mean down and back is a bad thing, and with certain exercises it is definitely warranted, but based upon certain postural tendencies that people may have, you may want to emphasize the opposite. But again, the scap's supposed to be mobile, so we should encourage a mobile scapula as well. So over the course of couple weeks, things started to happen less and less frequently. He could start doing more and more. Now he's currently at the point where he can perform 3 sets of 10 with the push-ups, no headaches at all, and he's introducing it into a circuit based training workout routine at home with the push-ups, erg machine, rowing machine, no problem whatsoever, no headaches elicited from that as well. It's been a while since he's had his last headache, and he's now back in the weight room doing whatever he wants to do, really. So moral of the story here is, number one, you need to, you know, look at postural tendencies and try to move someone away from postural tendencies. But number two is that what an individual may have been told or potentially found online may have been some misleading advice, and there may be some type of educational component that you need to talk about the individual as far as the strategy that they utilize for a particular exercise. Again, there's a lot of conflicting advice out there. So what everybody reads on Google, or even unfortunately with some healthcare providers or even trainers, isn't always the best advice either. So really being able to dive into that and have a conversation about those type of things with your clients is definitely useful so that you can push them in the right direction, because we could have done manual therapy and yeah, maybe he got some type of relief, but if he was always going back to those exercises and doing them in the same exact fashion, I'm not so sure he would have gotten the same result that we did. So hope you find that useful. If you got any questions about what we did a little bit more, be sure to type them in the comments below. If you're listening in YouTube, you can type them in the comments, Facebook, type them in the comments, or on the podcast, wherever you're listening to this. Thanks for tuning in, and look forward to talking with you next time.